Hello.
What's your least favorite scary movie?
Oh, bother.
Welcome to What's Your Least Favorite Scary Movie, the podcast where we talk about the good, the bad, the ugly, and the absurd, and all of our favorite
and least favorite
scary movies.
Because we believe every horror movie rightfully has its fan base.
Even if we don't always get it.
My name is Travis.
My name is Jesse. And happy April, everyone. So with the recent release of Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2, and the announcement of the extended Poohniverse, we decided we were going to dip our toes into Blood and Honey.
Yeah. Ooh, dipping it into Blood and Honey.
It's hot. But first, a brief announcement, budget to your patrons. Your bonus episode for March was uploaded over the weekend, and we talked about unedited footage of a bear.
Oh, God.
If you're not a budget tier patron, but would like to be, so that way you can have access to that and plenty of other cool perks, the link to our Patreon is at the very bottom of our show notes on this very episode. Yeah. We also uploaded our To Be or Not To Be on Bloody Bloody Bible Camp, so go check that out if you haven't already. I think that's it for my announcements. Travis, do we have poll results?
We do. We have our poll for Jigsaw.
Okay.
So as you guys know at this point, all of our Saw movies are polls about which of the traps you would survive. So I got four traps here that I am asking if you guys could survive any of these. So four of them are the bucket head trap, the pick the syringe trap, the curly fry machine, and the shotgun key. So we'll start it off with Twitter. 43% says that they could survive the bucket head trap.
Okay.
14% could survive the pick the syringe, 14% could survive the curly fry machine, and 29% could survive the shotgun key. Over on Instagram, 22% on buckethead, 56% on the syringe, nobody's making it out of the curly fry machine, and 22% the shotgun key.
Side note, I'm really glad that we are just fully embracing my referring to it as the curly fry machine.
I was torn between calling it the turbine and the curly fry machine. I was not sure if turbine was the correct word, and I liked curly fry machine because maybe that was his inspiration. We don't know.
He doesn't like curly fries.
Yeah, John Kramer probably doesn't for some weird bullshit reason.
Yeah, he'd probably say that they're like not very serious fries. They're not self-respecting.
Yeah, inferior shape.
Inferior starch.
Yeah. In the last episode, said the buckethead one is the one that I could survive. And I mean, yeah, that's the one that I would be able to survive the most. Like, it seems the easiest to me.
It doesn't seem the easiest because half of them end up with like wounds all along their backs.
Well, yeah, but they could have done the finger thing that Mitch tried to do until he fucked it up.
No, Mitch was on the wrong track with the finger thing. You won't convince me otherwise.
Yeah, okay. Agree to disagree. We also had people say the shotgun one was easy, which I am calling bullshit on. It's easy in hindsight, but I don't think it's super easy whenever it's like in the moment.
I do a lot of crossword puzzles. I have the kind of lateral thinking that I think works well in a saw trap.
I don't. I'm doomed.
I think I said I could do the syringe one because, like, those numbers weren't even close. If you know you killed somebody and pulled in less than $5,
yeah,
that's an easy answer.
That one right there is easy. She should have been able to get that one pretty easily. But yeah, that one, I feel like that's probably the most winnable batch of traps out of all of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, maybe it was his first time. He was fresh off of his Imagineer.
This is his first time, but he had 100% kill rate on it, so I don't know. Actually, nobody died in the buckethead one. Never mind. Somebody should have died.
Yeah, but I mean, he rescued Logan.
Yeah.
Or Logan rescued him. I don't know. It's like
they saved each other.
Yeah, I was gonna
it's
say,
like whenever like the
it's
dog.
Like a, yeah. Like,
you saved me. I didn't save you.
Yeah. Who saved who?
Who adopted you? Adopted me. I don't care. Whatever. All right. That's it. That's it for the poll. So okay. I think it's time for us to get into our movie for this week.
All right. Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey had a limited release on February 15th, 2023, with a wider release in the UK on March 17th, 2023. It was kind of like a staggered release worldwide, but
that's interesting. This thing had a shit ton of hype leading up to its premiere.
It did, mostly because people were aghast that they were making a Winnie the Pooh.
How dare
they were like, that's so stupid, what a cash grab, blah, blah, blah. Which I've got a fun quote about that.
I've got thoughts on that too here in a little bit.
We watched it on Peacock, but as of the end of March, you could stream it on Peacock or rent it from Fandango at Home, Prime, YouTube, or Google Play. Again, this is one of those weird, like, transitional weekends for us where we're recording. The rights tend to roll over at the beginning of the month.
It's been on Peacock ever since it debuted. Yeah. And it has a little banner at the bottom, too, saying only on Peacock.
Does it?
Yeah.
I missed that.
I think that they have, like, an exclusive streaming deal with them.
Okay.
For now, at least.
The script is written by Rhys Frake Waterfield, based on characters by A.A. Milne, directed by Rhys Frake Waterfield, music by Andrew Scott Bell, and special effects makeup by David Foxley and Rebecca Wheeler. They were actually in charge of, like, prosthetics. Starring Nikolai Leon as Christopher Robin, Maria Taylor as Maria, Natasha Rose Mill as Jessica, Amber Doig Thomas as Alice, Danielle Ronald as Zoe, Natasha Tosini as Lara, Paula Coes as Mary, Craig David Dowsett as Winnie the Pooh, and Chris Cardell as Piglet and the Stalker.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Travis, time for our favorite game.
Budget.
Bug Ted.
This is very clearly a Bug Ted movie.
Yes. So, according to IMDb, it's a $100,000 budget. According to Wikipedia and other sources, it's a $50,000 budget. We all know that they tend to inflate their budget, so I'm going to guess that the $50,000 is more accurate.
Yeah. You'll probably have information on if it's like a crowdsourcing or not. I thought it was.
I don't actually have that information.
Okay. For some reason, I thought that it was crowdsourced. I don't know. I don't know why I thought that this feels like a movie that would have been crowdsourced.
Yeah, I have no clue. It had an opening box office in US and Canada of $652,000 and a worldwide gross of, this is one of those that's a little bit different. On IMDb, it says $4.9 million, and on Wikipedia, it said $5.2 million. So right, that's around $5 million.
Pretty damn good ROI.
Yeah. And an IMDb score of, the lowest IMDb score we've had outside of a To Be or Not To Be movie. It is a 2.9.
It's a 2.9?
It's a 2.9. I don't even think Troll 2 is that low.
I didn't think people hated it that much.
I know.
I knew people hated this movie, but I didn't think it was that bad.
I picked three movies from 2023, and they are all what I'm calling childhood trauma movies.
Okay, that's very appropriate.
So the first one's Five Nights at Freddy's.
Oh, that's so fitting for this.
Yeah, I saw that and I was like, well, there's my theme. That released October 27th, 2023. Also can watch that on Peacock. It had a budget of $20 million. Actually, Travis, you just had several months of Josh Hutcherson because we watched that and then I put you through all the Hunger Games movies.
Yeah, I've seen that boy a lot.
You've seen him progress from a butcher's son or a baker's son to a man with a sister daughter.
A man with a sister daughter and also a man running working at a pizza place. I don't fucking know.
One time.
Yeah, he's a Kentucky boy. I like him.
Yeah. That had a budget of $20 million and a worldwide gross of $291 million. Blumhouse going Blumhouse, you know?
Well, that's also such a huge property.
Oh, yeah.
There was no way that movie was not going to make money.
It did have an IMDb score of 5.5 out of 10.
That's a lot better than I expected.
Yeah, honestly, like, we watched it and enjoyed it, but we've never played Five Nights at Freddy's and know nothing about the lore. So for us, it was just a movie.
I know some of the lore because there was a point where I watched those videos like 10 years ago where people were deep diving into it, and then I just kind of stopped. So I got off that train pretty fast.
The next one is based off a Stephen King property, and it's called The Boogeyman.
Oh, The Boogeyman.
That was released June 2nd, 2023, had a budget of $35 million and a worldwide gross of $67.3 million. IMDb score of 5.9 out of 10.
Okay.
We haven't seen that one yet. I am too engrossed in my feelings of the original Boogeyman trilogy that came out. And I get that this is Stephen King and it's something totally different, but my brain can't separate them.
Yeah, that's what I always think about too. Yeah. And it's got, the second one has Tobin Bell, right?
Yeah. Second and maybe third? Do they make references to him in the third?
I can't remember. I think they have a picture of him.
Yeah, because I think that's his daughter that goes to school.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Weird little series there.
Yeah. It gets, for me, for my taste, it gets progressively better.
Yeah.
Some people might disagree. Okay, and the third movie I have is one that we haven't watched yet either, but I've heard a lot of good things about. It's called Cobweb.
Oh, I've heard a shit ton of good stuff about that movie.
Yeah, my hairstylist was telling me about it, and she was like, I feel like you'd really like it.
I think that we would, yeah.
That was released October 20th, 2023. I'm pretty sure it went straight to streaming. I know
it had a theatrical release.
Did it have a theatrical release?
A very small one, okay. I believe. Yeah, because I remember seeing people go out to go see it, I think.
Okay.
It was very small. Like, it snuck out whenever another big release. I think whenever Talk to Me came out.
No, Talk to Me was in August because we saw it on your birthday.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. Then maybe it didn't have one. I remember a lot of people talking about Cobweb during... like Talk to Me's release, and people were kind of pissed off that Cobweb has like flew under the radar.
The only reason that I say it, because I knew it was on Hulu, I didn't hear much about it, and I don't have a budget for it.
Okay,
so that's why I kind of assumed it went straight to streaming. Also, the worldwide gross is $8 million, which isn't bad.
Never had a worldwide gross. That tells me it went to some theaters. At least you don't generally get this, like, the DVD, Blu-ray, streaming revenue for that stuff.
Fair enough. And that has an IMDb score of 6.0 out of 10 right now.
Okay, that's actually kind of lower than I thought it would be, considering all the hype I've heard of it.
Okay, so I've got three taglines.
First, is one of them, please, bitch better have my honey.
Oh my god, no, but that's our tagline.
Yeah.
Like, we haven't even talked about any of it, but yeah, bitch better have my honey.
Come on, man. That's like, it's right there.
It's amazing.
I feel like I'm cheating by even saying that.
No, that's great.
Okay.
That's going to be a real letdown for these.
Oh, okay.
The first one, the one that's on the DVD cover, this ain't no bedtime story.
Okay. I mean, I like that because it's kind of like, hey, ain't the Winnie the Pooh you think it might be. Like, I feel like this could also, I mean, it's got blood in the title, but I think there's some people that are still like, they just see Winnie the Pooh and stop reading and like, oh, hey, okay, there's a new Winnie the Pooh movie. Let's go take the kids.
Okay. Second one, a horror retelling of the famous legend of Winnie the Pooh. I feel like calling it a legend is
it's not.
Bold.
Yeah. It was a thing that we enjoyed as children.
It was a story and a Disney property after a while.
It's a 100-year-old story, but, you know, I would not call it a legend.
And finally, we'll be friends forever, won't we?
Oh.
Sad.
That one is sad. Oh, my God. This movie does kind of get sad.
It makes you real sad. Like, oh, man. Okay, I'm sure we'll talk about it.
You can't. There's no way you can avoid it with the opening of this thing.
Okay, so I got some fun facts. It was made after the book entered public domain on January 1st, 2022. It was shot in 10 days in Ashdown Forest in East Sussex, England. The masks were created by Immortal Masks, which is an American-based prosthetic mask manufacturing company.
Okay.
So... that's where those masks come from. It's always fun to know where they originate.
They're really good masks. I really, really like the masks.
They're really good masks, minus one thing, which I'll talk about when we get to it.
Okay, yeah.
So Race's original script, the first draft, the plot was a lot closer to the original source material, you know, the book by A.A. Milne, except Disney still owns several, like, let's see, how did I write it down? Disney still has exclusive rights to depictions of some of the characters from its own franchise.
Yes.
So he had to change quite a bit of his original draft to not, you know, be sued into non-existence by Disney.
See, this is the thing I've actually been really interested in here lately, and I've done a lot of deep diving on. Did you do, like, any additional research?
Mm-mm.
I don't want to steal any of your stuff.
No.
So, like, with this stuff right here, yeah, that, like, Winnie the Pooh is technically public domain now, but yeah, Disney had their own depiction of it. So, like, they probably can't have him wearing just a red t-shirt and, like, nothing on, because that's the Disney...
yeah,
like, characterization of that character. It's the same thing with Mickey Mouse right now. Mickey Mouse is technically public domain also, and it's only one type, though. It's the Steamboat Willie.
Yeah,
and any other depiction of Mickey Mouse, you can still get sued to hell and back for using him. And I think that they're trying to get around having him hit public domain by making him the logo, which, smart. But also, fuck you, because, like, public domain. Like, I like the idea of, like, having this shit, like, actually be out there for people. I get it for them because, like, that's their whole business is that shit. But they built their whole fucking business on this shit when they did the Grimm Tales.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's so hypocritical of them to be, like, so controlling over something like this when they made so much profit on telling other people's stories and characters.
Yeah, like, I have so many mixed feelings about Disney. Obviously, I grew up on Disney. I love Disney. I'm still kind of a Disney adult. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's been a huge part of my life. I've got a fucking Lion King tattoo, you know? Mm-hmm. And I love that they're giving DeSantis all the trouble in the world in Florida right now. That's great. But there's a certain level of wealth that's just unethical, even for, like, a corporation.
The mouse is, like, way too big.
Yeah,
the
mouse and it's is definitely, out of control. It's starting to, like, monopolize the entertainment industry in a way that's not great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, mixed feelings about it.
I will say one last thing. There is, there's, like, a lot of stuff like this coming out. There's a Steamboat Willie-inspired video game coming out, though. It's a first-person shooter.
Well, and I know one of the movies that's coming out in the extended Pooniverse is Pinocchio.
Pinocchio and Bambi.
And Bambi. That one's going to be rough for me.
Bambi. How the fuck can you do Bambi? Like, it's going to get so dark.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know I told you last night I couldn't. Basically that Fox and the Hound was essentially a no-go in the house because I got too emotional about it. That wasn't the only one because there was also Bambi and Dumbo. I got very distraught with all of them.
Didn't you tell me a story about like somebody whose mom stopped Bambi like whenever the mom got killed and it's like that's the end of it?
Okay, that's on Friends.
Oh, that's on Friends?
Yeah, that was Phoebe's mom.
Oh, shit. Okay.
No, but I did tell you about my friend who tried to convince me that Hocus Pocus ends after Thackeray Binks gets run over.
That's it.
Was like, no, absolutely not. And she goes, yeah, that's how it ends. I was like, no, I've seen it. She goes, no, that's how it ends. And then I was distraught and I came home and told my mom. So my mom had to go fucking Blockbuster and rent me the movie so that way I can know that Binks didn't die.
Okay, well, they're very similar stories. That's why I got it mixed up.
Yeah.
Wow, I can't believe I mixed it up with Friends. Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. So Andrew Scott Bell, who did the music for this, he went with his manager and purchased a honeycomb-filled violin from an experimental luthier and used that to compose the soundtrack.
That's so cool.
And then I've got a really cool quote about why he wanted to join the film. So back in late May, a day or so before the film went massively viral, I started seeing some online chatter about a Winnie the Pooh horror movie. I remember looking it up on IMDb and finding the director, Reese Frake Waterfield, on Instagram, where his story had a screenshot of a person's comment saying something to the effect of, "Your movie is ruining our childhoods." His reaction was, "That's what I'm trying to do, ruin everyone's childhoods."
That's funny.
So I just kind of like that. I like that they're like purposely like taking something beloved and they're making it sick and twisted because sometimes that's where some of the most fun horror stuff lies.
I like it. Yeah.
So that's all my fun facts. And now I'm so ready for us to talk about the good, the bad, the ugly, and the absurd.
All right, cool.
I pulled at you because we watched this a couple days ago. And I made a lot of notes on the side of my paper, and they're all out of order, so I had to mark them.
I marked mine down. It's like good, bad, ugly, and then absurd.
Yeah, but mine's like good, bad, absurd, absurd, bad, good, bad.
It's not a bad way to do it, too. So I am going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to tell everybody that taking a popular character and telling this type of story is good old-fashioned exploitation right there.
Poosploitation.
Poosploitation.
That's what one of our friends referred to it as, and I appreciate that terminology.
I do too. And the thing is, like, yeah, it's the whole point is to take this thing that is so part of like our childhood culture and make like a horror themed thing based out of it, and that's gonna drive a lot of attention. Like exploitation, one of the things about it is like taking stuff like that and trying to like use it to its advantage so it can become like popular. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
take a publicly known material like this, and now that it is free for people to use, like they can fucking do their own thing with it and capitalize on people's interests on that.
Well, also like a lot of horror is just taking like normal parts of our day-to-day lives and being like, but wouldn't it be scary if this?
Yeah.
And, you know, I kind of like this. I mean, honestly, where is the line between Child's Play and Toy Story? You know?
Yeah. Well,
they live in the same kind of universe.
Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, it's very similar type of thing. But I mean, like, the thing I'm talking about, like, this is like, it's like how Full Moon Pictures is releasing Barbenheimer. You know what I mean? They're capitalizing on public interest in a thing here and trying to, like, profit off of it and make, like, art based off of it.
I mean, fuck, we're talking about this movie specifically. This wasn't our original plan for this week, but the announcement of all of these upcoming movies and the release of the second one, we're like, we should probably just go ahead and talk about it.
Let's join it's the timely. Hype on it. Yeah. I get it. Yeah. So I like it for that. I don't knock it for that. I give it props for doing that. Another thing I like about this movie is I love the Pooh design. I think that it is a great take on the character. Like, coveralls with the red flannel and the face. So fucking effective.
So, and that was actually something I was going to talk about too. This movie, I was kind of like, I didn't really have strong opinions about it one way or the other, but there was somebody at Scarefest doing a Winnie the Pooh cosplay.
He nailed it,
and seeing it in person, so fucking scary.
Yeah,
it was honestly frightening.
Really, like, no shit, y'all. Like, this guy could have come straight from set that movie. He looked exactly, like, same body frame and everything. Yeah,
if you told me that it was Craig David Dowsett, I would have believed you.
We talked to him, too, and he's like, yeah, I dressed as this other guy the other day, too. It's like, oh, I saw that, too. That one was also awesome. He's just really good at playing bigger horror killers. I will say, though, I thought that the Piglet mask was kind of, it's just a fucking pig with tusks.
I like that they gave him tusks because Piglet's whole thing in the original is being a little tiny pig baby.
I know.
So him growing up, I was like, well, I never considered him being a boar, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, okay. Yeah, sure.
I like that he had signature weapons too. He had them chains. The chains. And his little mallet.
He had a mallet, yep. Pooh had some weird shit going on. I'm going to get into here in a little bit.
Yeah, I've got a punch up for Pooh stuff.
Okay. And, like, it just, this movie just reminds me of, like, whenever I watched this, I got the feel of, like, I could slap on some grain on there and, like, make it a mono track. This thing could have come straight from, like, the 80s.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this thing, it plays out like an old school slasher. And I really, really enjoyed that.
Okay. Do you have any other goods?
No, go ahead.
Okay. This movie definitely has some homages to other horror movies, and I love it when you can tell that a movie's coming from a horror fan.
Yeah.
The ones that I noticed right away, the storyline feels very like Friday the 13th remake to me.
Yeah.
Because we start off with like Christopher Robin and Mary, and then we cut to this other group of people and eventually leads back around to him, and he's got to close out his whole chapter and his whole storyline.
You're right.
Hostel. With Charlene seeing her eye in the mirror and freaking out about it. I thought of that too.
I thought she was going to kill herself then.
And then also Halloween Kills, where the international gang of rednecks starts attacking.
I wrote in my notes, they're trying to kill evil tonight. Like, that was straight up from Halloween Kills right there.
So, I loved all of those little nods to other horror franchises. I also thought it had some good tension at certain points. Like, the storyline with Maria's soccer.
That was fucking creepy.
It was so creepy, and it was done so, like, respectfully, which... like, it's weird to say in an exploitation film, but, like, you know, the whole reason that she's there is, like, they're trying to disconnect and help her, you know, deal with some of the PTSD she's been going through. Her therapist recommended, like, a disconnect weekend.
Yeah.
So they're all there, and she tells them the story. She hasn't even told all of her friends yet, which is also a very realistic thing. And I like that it didn't get, like, super graphic stalking and the stuff that goes along with that. And I appreciate the way they told the story. It was creepy. It was realistic. And honestly, it was kind of respectful in the way it was done.
The thing that, like, got me with that one is, like, with movies and TV shows like that, like, I see the trope. I mean, like, I guess you could call it a trope. But, like, points where they take somebody and they, like, stalk somebody and they watch them sleep and they break in. They, like, stand over them or something like that. I've never seen one where a guy tries to undress the girl in her sleep before, and that really, really made me uncomfortable. Like, yeah. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, and the way the guy did it was just, like, watching him do it, and, like, you're like, oh, my God, no.
Yeah, it was so fucking weird.
And, like, just her talking about little things. Like, she was like, I would just go out in my back patio, and I'd see, like, my chair had been moved, or, you know, things were missing, and, like, it was weird.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's always, like, little things like that that you start to get kind of paranoid and you brush off, and then it, like, you know, it escalated for her. So I thought that that was, like, really, ooh.
I'm glad that they didn't make it Pooh or Piglet, though, because that would have been really weird.
Like, I mean, they did technically make it Piglet, but it was just because it was, you know, the same actor, which we kind of talked about in our TV or not to be coverage, you know, reusing actors.
We talked about that in our Patreon.
Was it on the Patreon?
It was the twin.
No, I feel like we talked about it.
Oh, you did. Yeah, with Tim Sullivan. You're right. Yeah, Tim Sullivan.
I thought maybe Tim Sullivan was just used as like a
body.
Yeah, that's right. And then the other thing, that car kill for Lara. I've never seen it done in such a way where somebody's head gets run over. They pause on the head. You see her head not quite exploding yet because of it. Like, that was so fucking gross. I mean that in the best way as, like, a horror fan.
I really like the subversion of Piglet dragging the mallet over there, or the sledgehammer, and, like, not killing her with it, but using it to pin her down so Pooh could do that.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh, fuck, that's extra nasty.
Yeah, and I love that Piglet hog ties people all the time.
Yeah.
That's a nice little...
I like that, too.
...little bit.
Yeah.
Okay, what's your bad?
I think that this thing has some pretty poor acting. You know, I mean, that goes into, like, the cheap exploitation 80s movie thing, but, like, it got to the point where I was like, some of the people are just not super up to snuff with their acting. I think Christopher wasn't exactly the best one. I think some of the friends.
Was it Christopher or was it his dialogue? Because I feel like they didn't give him a lot to work with. Because he's going, no, I had to go away. I didn't have a choice. I had to. No. Did they just tell him to, like, beg for his life and that's all he could come up with? Or was that what he was told to say?
Like, be careful, because we don't want to get Disney on her back. She's going to say these lines. Say it just like this. Yeah, you got to play really careful with this right here. I think that her friend group, though, was probably the worst batch of them. I also just kind of thought that, like, it took me so long to get their names.
I get it that they want to, like, do it in a natural way, but if you're going to naturally introduce it, have people using each other's names. Just make it happen.
Just do it. You can, like, make it organic.
Yeah.
Like, it can happen, but, like, Jess, I wrote her as Glasses throughout, like, until the very end of the movie.
Yes, it took so long for me to get her name, and that's my name.
Yeah.
Zoe took so long to get her name, and that's our cat's name.
Yeah. It's just, like, I don't know, like, stuff like that. I thought that it had a pretty bad mix of CG and practical effects. Like, the head-crushing kill was great, but I can't tolerate the really bad CG blood that's just spurting out of the head. Like, I feel like Damien Leone kind of set people up to, like, be like, look, I did this shit with this budget. You should be able to do this. However, he's insanely talented as an effects artist, so he's got that edge on people, but it's made me aware that it can be done. It can be done practical for cheap, and whenever I see people use CG blood like that, it really just bums me out and kind of takes me out of it. I'm like, this had so much potential to be a way better kill.
Yeah, and, like, that was the thing, too, when I was writing down the special effects, because all I had was prosthetics. And I was like, oh, no, but there's so much more to effects than prosthetics.
And last thing, some of the writing, just not that great. Like, it's a lot of it is just things just happening.
Yeah.
Like, it's like they get to their vacation cabin and things just happen. Pooh comes over here, kills somebody. Pooh comes over there, just kills somebody. Like, not a lot driving things. It's just, like, a scene. And then, like, okay, let's do it again. New person instead. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't have much of a story.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's my bad.
My bad. And I get that this is for copyright reasons. But it's not spelled H-U-N-N-Y! That is canonically how Pooh spells honey.
H-U-N-N-Y?
Yes.
Yeah. You can't do it. No. Wait, was it spelled like that in the book? I wonder. Like, if it's in the book, it's free game.
I don't know, but that's what I iconically associate Woo Pooh with this little jar of honey, and it's spelled wrong.
Yeah.
Silly willy nilly old bear, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's also, like, a lot of people are going, no, don't, leave her alone, and then just standing there as one of the characters is killed. Like, they're not moving. Like, it happens with Christopher Robin when mm-hmm. Mary is being choked out. Like, he just stands and he goes, Piglet! Piglet! Piglet!
It happens with...
And it happens with Zoe and Alice, too. Yeah, because Zoe's like, no, not Alice. No, or not Zoe. I don't know. I don't know which one's which. They look very similar.
He was like, you can come get her. She's right here. Like, no, it's okay, but don't.
But don't. And I also, like, I wanted this movie to be just, like, a little bit campier. You know what I mean?
I played it really, really straight.
Yeah, and like...
I kind of like that, though.
I like that, but like, there were certain punch-ups that I thought could have been really fun. Like, because the bees appear whenever Pooh murders somebody. I wish we'd had more bee action. Like, let's get it... Like, let's get it to fucking Candyman levels of bees.
Oh, God.
Let's do more with bees. Let's do more with bees.
I like. I just like your enthusiasm for bees, even though you hate bees.
I do hate bees. I thought it would have been cool because he keeps pouring the blood honey on people. I wanted it to be like acid or something.
I thought it was
going to
be something too, but he's just eating it.
Yeah, I wanted it to burn them. And then also, I don't know, maybe they could have a little fun being like furries. You know what I mean? It's there.
Furries?
Yeah.
Wait, maybe, what do you mean?
Maybe have like furries in the cabin and then they see Pooh and Piglet and they're like, oh, y'all are deep in it.
Oh, God.
Yeah. That would be funny. I don't know enough about furry subculture, but I feel like there's a potential for something there.
No, I think you're right, actually. Like whoa, that's a really good mask for him.
Yeah.
Like, Pooh's like, not a mask.
So, yeah, that's what I thought could have been, you know, maybe made it a little campier in a way that would have been fun. So.
I agree. Like, camp it up in certain moments, but play it straight in others. I think that's a good formula there.
I'm never, like, fully opposed to, like, a movie playing something, like, silly, very straight. But I just feel like there were maybe a couple of moments that could have been
well,
more.
Well, this movie right here, you look at it, Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. You, like, I mean, that's a... movie title screaming to be camp, like full-blown camp.
Yeah.
And I kind of respect them for just going straight full-blown horror with it, because, you know, like, that's a fun take too.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's your ugly?
They ate Eeyore. I don't like that Eeyore had to go
Eeyore!
First.
Why Eeyore?
It's like first thing too, like, Christopher's gone for one day. What the fuck do we do? Eeyore!
Eat him. Like, I knew you guys didn't like me as much as each other.
This is why I'm sad. All the time.
I always knew I would be first to go in a cannibal situation.
Like, I've heard Pooh talking about he's been looking for an excuse to eat me this whole time. That bastard. I mean, come on, man. Like, I wanted to at least see him. We don't even see him. And then we get the fucking tombstone of him when he comes back there later. I'm like, don't do that. It's just, I hated that. Okay, what's your ugly?
My ugly is probably like the whole stalking bit and then also like abandoning his childhood friends. I get it. You got to go to college at some point, but, and you know, when he's telling Mary about it, she's playing it off like, you know, it's a childhood thing. But for Christopher Robin, it wasn't a childhood thing. Did he not come home at any point while he was in college? He didn't come see his friends ever? He didn't tell them that he was leaving?
Yeah, that's kind of stupid, actually.
That's kind of fucked up. Even if you thought they could fend for themselves, you didn't say goodbye? You didn't say goodbye to Pooh?
No. I think he did say goodbye. I think he did. Didn't he not? Isn't there not like a flashback of him going like, I'm sorry, I gotta go. I gotta go to college.
No, I don't think so. He's apologizing later. He's saying, like, I had to go to college, but he's not. The voiceover narration at the beginning says that he made the difficult decision to go to college, and therefore he wasn't there to feed his friends anymore, so they had to eat Eeyore, and then they became anti-human.
Is this what happened in Toy Story, like, after Toy Story 3 when Andy left? Like, he went to college, so the toys like, we gotta eat each other. Like,
probably.
What are we gonna do? More Disney shit.
No, they got taken to a daycare.
I didn't watch Toy Story 4, so...
I didn't watch Toy Story 4. That wasn't Toy Story 3, friend.
Well, they could have.
They had lots of The bear, Lotso Hugs, I think is his name. And he's like an evil mob boss in the daycare.
There, so spoilers for Toy Story 3, but speaking of like people having endings be like cut short like that, or like you think how a movie is supposed to end, there's like a YouTube video of like these people edited Toy Story 3 and showed it to their mom. And you know that scene where they're all on the conveyor belt about to be like put into the fire to be killed? Like, they made it fade to black there and go to credits. The mom's like, what the fuck?
That's like the quote unquote alternate ending for the collector.
Yeah. You kind of just like stick your fingers up like, fuck you toys, you are dying. Okay. Absurd.
Yeah.
Let's see here. So the first thing I asked myself here, and I put it under the absurd, is are these masks or faces? I learned later that they're the actual faces, but they looked like masks.
Well, here's my absurd in relation to the mask is that you can see their fucking mouths under them.
Can you?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't pay attention that much.
Yeah. Well, because there's so many close-ups of Pooh eating his honey. And, but like, it's so dark. I don't see it. Lips going.
Really?
Yeah.
I never saw that.
Yeah. It's distracting.
Maybe that's just what that bear is, man. I mean, they're like anomalies.
Like,
you know
there's
what I mean?
Enough shots of it where, like, far away, and like, I can see why, like, they're fine with this design, but it's like the up close shots where I'm sure it was kind of like a let's just hope people aren't scrutinizing it too much kind of thing.
I didn't.
I wonder how distracting it would have been in like a theater screen, though.
Yeah. Okay. More. extended Pooh torture. With a song playing that is singing that smell.
Okay. Ooh, this music. That it is smell. Gregorian monk chanting. And it's like, that smell. Something. And I'm not saying something because I don't know the words. Those are the actual literal lyrics.
It's also like, I think there's also a where's like, where's that smell? Like, where's it coming from? Like, that smell, where the fuck?
And it's like, it's literally, like, the lyrics are literally, something, that smell.
That smell. Yeah, it's just like him torturing Christopher. And it's not even that good of torture. Like, it's like, here you go, Christopher, I'm giving you a shower.
He whips him. And at first I was like, please don't tell me that's fucking Eeyore's tail.
That's what I thought it was, too.
I'm very concerned it's Eeyore's tail.
I think it is. I think that...
Oh, that's bleak.
Dude, his tail is fucking harsh. That shit cuts. That cut him pretty fucking deep. And my final absurd is Pooh controls bees.
Bees?
Like he can just sick bees on people. Like he did it in the Halloween kill scene with the last guy. Like the final guy is like, bees, go get him. Like when the guy is like running away and they just go over there and kill a guy to death. Has that ever been a thing? Does Pooh control bees? Like, what the fuck is that?
I mean, at one point he got stuck in a honey, like a hive, like trying to get honey. It's in a tree.
Yeah, but he doesn't control the bees.
Yeah,
he?
But he doesn't control the bees. Yeah. Like, it's a whole thing. And so he has to stop eating the honey so he can lose enough weight to fall out of the tree.
The poor Pooh.
So you touched on a couple of my absurds. There are some absurdities that them wearing clothes, first of all, because they supposedly hate their human parts. So, and I know that the real reason is because they didn't want to have to do like a full bear suit, and he was supposed to look like half bear, half human.
Well, there's they all wear clothes in the show. Well, not all of them.
Piglet doesn't. Pooh's the only one that does.
Wait, I thought Piglet was wearing like a fucking tank top.
No, that's just his little pink body.
Doesn't he have stripes on it?
Yeah. It's just his stripes.
Pigs don't have stripes.
Cartoon pigs do.
I think it's a tank top.
I don't think it's a tank top.
That's her pole.
Yeah, so there's that, and like supposedly they never spoke again, but then when they're rescuing Charlene, she's like, they kind of speak. So I'm like, which is it? And then my final absurd is the International Gang of Rednecks, because there's the four rednecks from the convenience store, and they all have different accents, because we've got the American one, the British one, the Australian one, and the one who I never actually hear talk directly.
I like to think that that's like the United Nations of rednecks. Like, they all just like gather together in England.
To be fair, I've never been more on a redneck side in a horror movie than I have with these guys, but I was very like, they were multicultural.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm good on them for, you know, being inclusive like that. It doesn't work well for them, but, you know. And they seem like they might be sketchy, too. I thought that they were going to be bad. Like, oh, Pooh, here's your target over here. Like, I thought that they were going to help
him. They were doing full, like, Halloween, like, vigilante mob justice shit. Like, yeah. they see Maria and Jess running, and they're like, we'll save you.
It went Tommy Wallace on.
Yeah. Okay. So, Travis, what's your score?
I think this movie lies around
6.5.
Yeah.
I'm giving it a 7.5.
7.5.
I had a lot of fun with it. I was expecting to hate it the way people talked about it. And I just honestly, I had a good time. I'm ready for the second one. I'm ready for the third one.
I am too. I you know, like I watched it and I was like, this is what people have been shitting on. Like it's not nowhere near as bad as I've seen.
I think it was just a lot of people shitting on the concept more than anything. Being like, oh, what a stupid thing, we're just gonna make a Winnie the Pooh horror movie, no new ideas in Hollywood. And it's like, sometimes it's harder to take an existing property like that and turn it into something opposite.
Yeah.
And I can understand, did a good job.
I think I can understand people's criticism with that, like that it's not original. I don't know, like I don't have any issues with it myself.
Mm-mm.
And I feel like this, it probably got more eyes on it than like most movies of this quality and
yeah.
budget would. Due to that,
shout out to Cult of Humpty.
Yeah. Oh God, Joe.
That's yeah. Peacock wants us to finish that movie now.
Yeah. By the way, tried to like put that up there for us to watch after this, but no. I mean, I thought that it was really good. Like, I've seen some real trash movies. I mean, we talked about one for our To Be or Not to Be. Hello, Buddy Buddy Bible Camp.
Yeah.
And this movie was miles, miles better than that. So yeah, 6.5.
All right, I've got a 7.5, which means we have a starting average of 7. Today's episode is brought to you by Manscaped. Hey, fellas, quick heads up from the grooming front lines. Shaving your jewels doesn't always have to be risky business anymore. Thanks to our friends at Manscaped and their Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra, you can forget about nicking your bits. This trimmer is all about keeping things smooth and safe so you can trim with confidence. Fancy a stress-free shave and some savings? Head on over to manscaped.com and snag 20% off plus free shipping with code LEASTFAVE20. With Manscaped, it's easy grooming, no surprises.
That's right. And we all know from using our own products that can be kind of a tricky situation to be in. So for me, myself, I've had some pretty big troubles, you know, with some of the tools I've had before. They're not always the most delicate stuff. That's why I'd like to point you guys to the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. It's the fifth generation trimmer, features two interchangeable next-gen skin-safe blade heads, one that's good for getting a little bit off the top, and then one that's going all smooth. Also, it comes with dual LED spotlights, so you'll be able to achieve better visibility, making every trim more precise and hassle-free. Worried you'll make a mess? This bad boy is waterproof, so don't worry, you can hop in a shower, hop in a bath, take a rub-a-dub-dub, and you will be able to get clean. I love this thing because it comes in a compact case, so we can store it away. Doesn't get in the way of anything. Perfectly fine.
It keeps all the interchangeable heads and trimmers. It keeps them all gathered in one place. The charger, cable, and all of that. All right there.
Yeah. Trust me, this trimmer will be your crown jewel's best buddy. Get 20% off plus free shipping with code LEASTFAVE20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code LEASTFAVE20 at manscaped.com. Show your boss some love and feel free as a dove. Start off with Christopher encountering Al Rabbit. It's like a cartoon, like the old like illustrations. Al, Rabbit, Eeyore, and Winnie the Pooh.
The narrator explains that some people would consider them abominations, but Christopher Robin became friends with them, fed them daily, and then just fucked on off to college.
Yeah, like, I guess, like, he was still, like, a teenager when he was hanging out with them, which I don't know the canon of Winnie the Pooh, but, like, I don't know, like...
I feel like he's, like, 8 or 9 years old.
So, like, he didn't, unless this kid's a fucking prodigy, he wasn't going off to college. Like, even whenever we get a flashback later, like as a kid, he's like, I'm going to college. And like,
I don't think he ever says that in a flashback. I don't know where you decided this was coming from.
I feel maybe I'm just filling in blanks with my brain here. I thought that he said that.
The flashback we see is him saying, we'll be friends forever and ever.
Okay, that is true. I do remember seeing that. It is a shame that they were able to use like the style of Winnie the Pooh for this right here. Like they clearly had to do like a different style that doesn't resemble anything close to like the Disney illustrations.
Yeah, so when he left, they didn't know how to fend for themselves anymore. And then one winter day, it was really cold and they were starving and they ate Eeyore. And because they were so traumatized from having to do that, they renounced their humanity, hated everything human, and especially hated Christopher Robin. And they never spoke again, except apparently they did. And also, they still were close.
And they speak later in the movie, too. Like, yeah. I guess, like, I don't know. Maybe they're just pouty about it. Okay, so we cut later in the future. Christopher...
5 years later.
5 years later. Okay, so we know, like, we have a timeline now. Christopher returns to the woods with his... I feel like they said fiancé.
He says fiancé at one point, and he says wife at a different point.
Yeah, that's why... It threw me off. I wrote fiancé here, but he has Mary there to show... and prove that they exist, because apparently he's been telling her all about these people and she doesn't exactly
She's like, I believe that they were an important part of your childhood and that sometimes we make up things to keep us happy when we're younger, and I'm here to support you and help you deal with coming to this realization on your own as an adult.
So they find the old place that they used to live at. It's in really bad shape. You see Eeyore's little tombstone that they made there.
Yeah,
at least they had enough respect to make him a grave.
What did they bury there?
Skeleton? I don't know. That's what I'm questioning too. But maybe his soul's there. Maybe it's tell. I don't know. They kept parts of him, obviously.
Mary is freaking out, because they're seeing, like, little skulls and blood on like different jar lids, and then there's like honey mixed with blood, and abandoned vehicles and bikes all around. It just looks like bad news. They go in a house and they find a drawing of Chris, except it's not like a happy friendship drawing, it's a bad news drawing.
Do we actually see?
We don't see it, but I was kind of bummed. Get the gist.
I was kind of bummed that I didn't get to see what this was, because she's got this like horrified reaction, and like they put it down and hear footsteps, so they have to hide underneath the bed. Sometimes gone by, it's nighttime now, Pooh is asleep on the bed, so they manage to sneak out. But as they walk outside, Piglet has something else in mind for them. He wraps chains around Mary's neck and he kills her. Then Pooh finds Chris, and then they take Chris. I thought that they killed him here, but...
Well, that's implied because they show a drawing and it looks like they throw Chris in a fire.
Yeah, I thought that they were going to eat him.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it seemed like. And that's it. We get opening credits, highlighting news reports of people going missing in the woods, and mutilated bodies being found.
One of the newspapers says man pig or bear man pig?
Bear man pig.
Bear man pig. Yes.
Yeah, that's definitely intentional.
Oh, it has to be 100%. So we cut to a woman, Maria. She's in therapy and she's talking about how she's been living on edge and she's just scared all the time, especially in crowds. And she just doesn't want to be like that anymore. And the therapist says that she's made a lot of progress, and the fact that she knows why she wants to be in therapy is a good thing, and suggests that maybe she needs, you know, just a break away from everything, reset. So she and her friends decide that they're going to go to a cabin for the weekend. As they're driving, they call their friend Tina, who is late. Apparently, that's just Tina.
Yeah, two hours behind. Tina.
Yeah, she's a late person, as Mike Birbiglia would say.
Ladies. Maria arrives at a gas station. It's, you know, typical. Surprised we don't see the Harbinger there from Cabin in the Woods.
It's like, it's one of those, she goes in and it seems abandoned, but she keeps saying hello. And eventually one of the rednecks comes out and she's like, does those gas pumps work? And he goes, no.
It's like, have you seen them? Like, they obviously are not functional.
Do you see this place?
What even is this place anymore? Is this just his home? Is this where the United Nations headquarters is for the rednecks?
Apparently. Charlene walks in. I guess she's also part of this United Nations because she seems very at home in this place.
She does, yeah.
So they all arrive at their little rental cabin. They have to give up their phones for the weekend because the whole point is to disconnect. Lara's not happy about it. And they're like, you'll be fine without Instagram for a weekend. And of course, because they've given up their phones, they didn't wait for Tina to get there. So Tina's calling because she's lost and she's like, my GPS doesn't want me to go here, but it says 100 Acre Wood. So I'm just a little bit confused on what I'm supposed to be doing. And then as she's hanging up the phone, she sees Pooh, who chases her into a barn in the woods. And he he puts her in a wood chipper. And I'm laughing because he, like, bashes her head a lot first, so she should be dead. But when he puts her in the wood chipper, her legs are, like, kicking about. Yeah. Like, they clearly had her, like, act like she was being, like, struggling to fight still, even though she would have been long dead by the point her legs were still kicking.
That was some brutal head bashing that there. Like, I was kind of impressed. I was also really shocked to see that we get Pooh chasing, like, people and killing them this quick into the movie.
Yeah, he just runs.
Yeah, he just like sees her and just sprints at her. Like, yeah. He's a fast bear. Bears are fast, so I guess that makes sense.
Okay, so we've got two of the friends are lesbians, which is cool, but it leads to this like very abrupt storyline because one of them had called and set up like a little romantic surprise and the other one says it's too soon. And then that's all we get with that. That's all I get. Is it a new relationship? Did something happen and they're not ready to make up? I don't know what's happening.
I don't know either. I feel like they were trying to establish like characters here for whatever reason. I don't feel like it truly connects.
Maybe in the long line of movie homages, maybe this is an homage to The Strangers.
Ooh, it could be. Like she proposes and like she says no.
She's like, this is not the time.
Yeah. So Maria shares her trauma with her friends. She tells them all the reason why she is wanting to do this trip. And then she tells the story about what happened. So she had a stalker. There was a guy. She woke up in the middle of the night one night and saw him staring at her from outside the window, which really freaked her out.
But he ran off and the police couldn't find him, you know, just based off of that. She said things got a little bit better, but a month later, she started feeling kind of like weird in crowds, like she was being watched. And eventually it led to him breaking into her house and trying to undress her in her sleep. The police did get him that time and they said that they got his computer from his home and it was just filled with stuff about her.
That's so fucking creepy.
He'd been stalking her for a while.
So we cut over to the Piglet.
Piglet Pooh doing house. 6 million merits to power up the murder barn.
I think it's impressive that he has to power this thing with a bike.
So we learn Chris is alive and he is a hostage and he's crying and apologizing. And whereas before he was like, I had to leave. I didn't have a choice. Now he's like, I never would have left if I could have avoided it.
I get it, man. Like these guys held a fucking grudge. Like the thing is, he was always bringing them food, so they didn't have a source of food anymore.
This is so sad because Pooh goes over to the mirror and he thinks about Christopher Robin being a little baby boy and saying, "We'll be friends forever, won't we, Pooh?" And then Pooh has a single little tear run down his face, and then he starts smashing stuff.
I thought whenever I first saw that, I was like, did he just cry, honey? I wish that was the case. But nah, yeah, he goes on a full-blown rampage here. He gets possibly Eeyore's tail and starts to whip Christopher with it, and it makes some pretty brutal cuts on his back.
And then he showers him with blood.
Yeah, and props up a skeletal corpse next to him. Was that Mary? I'm guessing that's probably Mary.
I don't know. The way Chris reacts, it's bad. And then this is where we get the first something, something.
Yeah. That smell.
So Lara has snuck her phone out from the group's phones because, of course, she did. And she is in the hot tub and she is trying to take all manner of selfies. And I appreciate this realistic version of it where she's doing a million different angles and poses and trying to find the best one. And it also sets up for a really good jump scare because like she's taking all these pictures, you know, going through it. And after she's done about 20 or so, she decides she's going to look and see which ones are the best. And she's like, bad, bad, bad. And as she's looking through, she notices Pooh in the background of her picture sneaking up, and she's like, what the fuck? And then, because Laura is the kind of monster that I love in movies like this, she's like the bad friend archetype, very stuck up, and I love her. She gets out and she goes, who are you? Are you here for Maria? So fucked up as a friend to say that after what just Would she just told you?
Yeah, and she's also just so quick to be like, whatever. Like, she's like, okay, I'm going to go back to the hot tub. So she just gets back in the hot tub.
And then Piglet comes out. Piglet's got fucking chloroform.
This movie, I will say one thing about this movie. They love themselves some strobe light effects. Because that's what is happening here. Because she turned on one of the outside lights and it's flickering. So it's just shots of Pooh and Piglet walking up from behind, but like inching closer with each time the light.
It is not great for photosensitivity.
No. But yeah. He gets her all tied up, and then we see her out in the middle of the road, hogtied by Piglet, and he is slowly dragging the sledgehammer to the road over to her, takes it, doesn't bash her head, pins her to the ground with it. It's also really weird seeing Pooh in a car. He's just revving the engine over there, like, waiting.
Who taught him how to drive?
Myers.
Did Christopher Robin teach him before he went to college? Because he would have had his license, right?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe they went on like little joyrides together. Why didn't he teach him to get food? He should have. Teach a man to fish. Teach a poo to fish, and you just won't have him kill you later on.
That's how that saying goes.
That's exactly how that goes.
He slowly drives over her head, and it's... God, that's such a fun kill. Like, it's seeing really her eyeballs just bugged out and her not immediately die and explode. Oh.
So Maria and Jess, they find her body. They start to freak out.
And Zoe and Alice come downstairs. They all heard her scream, and Maria and Jess let them know that they found her body. They look towards one wall that's just entirely made of windows, and they see a message that says, "Get out."
Again, strangers-esque.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why do they want them to get out? I thought that they would want them for food. Why are they trying to get rid of them?
Maybe they taste better when they're scared.
I don't know. I feel like this is probably stupid writing right here, where they're just like throwing in like horror tropes. Like, I don't know. Like, it's scary, right? Like, it doesn't line up with any of the motivations of our characters here, but it gets a scare.
They're looking for their phones and weapons to, you know, be able to protect themselves and call for help. And then they see Pooh through the window. Maria starts panicking, and Jess has to, like, give her a little pep talk. Meanwhile, Zoe goes to close the front door. And Maria, remember, she's got a gun upstairs. So they go up there. Pooh has snuck into the house, and Piglet sneaks up on Zoe and Alice, who are... in the pool area to see if there was like a door back there left open by Lara. And Piglet kills Zoe.
This is, I like the sequence. So, like, he knocks one of them out, kind of
back. Yeah, he knocks Alice out. And so Zoe is like trying.
She's in the pool. She jumped in. I think he tossed her in the pool or something.
Yeah.
So she's like, he's walking after her in the pool trying to get her, and
and it's like a lap pool so they can walk in it, but like it's really weird, like intense, because you know how you move slower in water, and it's just like this whole, like, we get shots of like the hammer underwater and stuff, and it's just, it's really, it's actually really well done.
It is
for a tense scene
until we get like him whacking her like repeatedly with the sledgehammer, and I'm like thinking to myself, these are some weak ass swings.
And because Alice has woken up at this point, and she does the thing that Christopher did at the beginning where he's like, no, and she's just in there, she goes, no, leave her alone, no, like, you could have ran around to the other side of the pool, distracted Piglet the way she distracted him for you. That's not what happens. So Zoe dies. Jess and Maria find Zoe's body, and they see Pooh and Piglet carrying Alice, and they decide to follow them. Alice is tied up once again. Love a hog tie moment. And Pooh comes over and starts just beating her, just for funsies, apparently, because Jess and Maria get to her and they see that she is like still alive, and they start to leave, but they hear a scream, and they all agree, we don't want to leave anybody here with these people. It's a bad idea. So they run towards the scream, and they find Christopher Robin, and Maria goes to untie him, and suddenly Alice and Jess are like, we've got to get out of here. And it's like, but we all just agreed.
I like how many times they hear a scream and they go and untie somebody in this sequence, because it happens at least three times.
Yeah, this is the second time. So they get Christopher Robin untied, and they're like, okay, we got to go help you. And then there's another scream, and he's like, oh, that's that woman. She just got here. You should go help her. I'll catch up, which is sus. And also they just leave him, and suddenly just Jess and Alice are okay with going and untying. So it's their internal consistency is not great here.
No.
So they go and they find Charlene. She's the woman from the gas station earlier. I say gas station, but it's not really because the gas pumps don't work.
You in headquarters.
Yeah. She has been beaten and chained up, and she says that they talk and their names are Pooh and Piglet. And
she says something like Piglet smells me. Like, yeah. What is
happening? We need to see more of this stuff. I need to know what Charlene has gone through. When did they get her? How did they get her? Where did they get her?
Legit criticism. Like, I feel like this whole thing is so out of nowhere because she has this big dramatic showdown with him because yeah.
He's
going to
pay for what he did. Okay, listen. Yeah, she's been beaten up, but it doesn't look like anything that's going to scar her permanently.
It's like swelling from like having her face hit. Like, I think she'll be okay eventually.
She's not like the woman in Hostel that had her eyeball cut out.
But she's looking at herself like she is. She stumbles upon a window that is showing her reflection. She's like, oh my God, what have they done to me?
And Maria's like, you know what? You're right. And she gives this stranger her gun so she can have a standoff with Piglet.
It's so stupid. She takes the gun and starts wandering around. She's like, Piglet or something. I don't fucking know. She's like,
Outlander!
Yeah. She's like firing the gun wildly, and then Piglet just kind of strolls in like, hey, what's
Piglet
up?
Piglet counted them bullets because he comes up and she's got nothing left to shoot at him.
That's smart. That's smart for Piglet right there. So he smells her. walks up to her, and what happened? Oh, Piglet squeals. He squeals.
Yeah, basically. And then Pooh appears and they kill her.
Yeah, she backs into Pooh, yeah. And then he pours honey on her face, which causes the bees to attack her.
Yeah.
No, it causes Piglet to eat her face.
Yeah.
He pours honey on her face and Piglet's like, I'm going to eat that shit. I smelled it first. So.
Then Pooh hears our trio from the cabin. They're hiding behind something. So he goes to follow them. Maria and Jess run, but Alice. Decides that she's gonna beat Piglet up.
She takes the sledgehammer and starts whacking on his face and actually starts to fuck him off.
Yeah, she ties him up and she's bludgeoning him. One thing I will say, the chains here, and they're the same chains that were used for Charlene, clearly they didn't want to actually use chains on the actors because it's ropes.
Oh, yeah.
And then a chain sound effect, but the way they're moving is much more like ropes.
That's funny. I didn't notice that.
Yeah, it was very distracting, the way it was literally being tied. I wonder if in post, when they were doing all the CGI blood, they were that would be more intimidating as chains. So
Pooh hears Piglet start to shriek out in the background there. So he runs off to go save him. Gets revenge on Alice. Let's see. What's he? Oh, he stabs her through the mouth. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oof.
Well, through the mouth, but it was more like a sleight of hand from our POV because we could tell that it was being slid in next to her face.
That's true. He also proceeds to bob her. As in, Halloween, Bob, sticks her up on the wall.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I don't know if I remember this correctly, but I think he does something kind of like a head tilt at her. He stares at the body. Yeah. It reminded me a lot of Michael.
So there's a shot of Pooh running, and it's, almost, shot from underneath his face, and it's, a moving camera with him. And I love that shot.
I like that,
too. It's a really cool shot. It's creepy, and I don't know, it just worked for me. Maria and Jess find the International Gang of Rednecks, mm-hmm. and they beg for help, and the rednecks do what rednecks do, and they're like, oh, hell no, not in our woods. We don't give these parts a bad name. We're understanding rednecks. We like people.
They are interesting, because I like that he's like, you know what? I don't like the looks of this guy. He just kind of backs off for a minute, but then they're like, nah, we gotta fuck him up. So they all get weapons. They get bats and, all kinds of, shit, pipes and shit. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So they approach him, they try and convince him to leave, but Pooh just kind of stands there silently.
It is fully, if you want to know what this scene looks like but you don't want to watch the movie, just watch the scene in Halloween Kills where the mob beats up Michael and then Michael beats the mob up.
The only thing it's missing is a pressing iron.
But what it's lacking in a clothes iron, it's making up for in bees.
It does have bees.
It has bees.
I like how Pooh, this is really cool here, how he fucks him up. So, they get their licks in, and you know, Pooh's kind of like budging a little bit, but he's not really like showing like he's hurt in any way. Then he takes his knife and slices the gas station attendant redneck's face in half.
Yeah.
So the guy runs over to the car, freaking the fuck out. He takes the other guy. Let's see, what does he do to him? Chops his hand off. Then he head stomps him. And then he takes the other dude, slashes his throat. And then the other guy, as he's running away, he takes his bees and he sticks them on him. So like he goes, like the bees just chase him down and kill him.
Maria and Jess have driven away at this point, but because Winnie the Pooh is fully Michael Myers at this point, he is in the back of the truck mm-hmm. and sneaking up on him, causing a crash. And Pooh has taken Jess out of the cab of the truck. And when Maria looks up, he's just holding Jess's head.
I'm kind of mad that we got that off screen.
Pooh pulls no punches. That's what I'm learning about this silly willy-nilly old bear.
He's really fucking brutal. So like you think that she's gonna be able to drive off, but she can't get the truck to start back. Nope. So Pooh walks over there, grabs her, pulls her out of the truck, and is about to kill her. But wouldn't you remember Christopher Robin? He's right there.
Yeah,
he's still in this movie, and he's got a truck of his own.
So I had such a worry at the beginning of all of this that when they brought in Maria, I was like, is this going to be a cheap replacement for Mary for Chris? Like, no. Are they going to do a weird forcing together? And he's going to be like, can I just call you Mary?
I would be so mad if they did that. I like how he has no regard for her life, though, and like pins Pooh up against the car by wrecking into it. He could
have very easily hit her.
She was right there too. Yeah. She just happens to fall to the side whenever Pooh drops her. Like, she should have been crushed alongside Pooh.
So he gets out to help Maria, and Pooh is superhuman, and he just pushes the car away from him. And he grabs Maria. Chris is like begging. He's like, look, just take me. We'll be friends forever. We'll be together forever. Just let her go. And
Pooh just says, you left.
Yeah, I really wish that they'd done like the actual Winnie the Pooh voice and it'd been really high pitched, like, you left.
Oh, that would have been awesome. Yeah, I was shocked to hear him talk though. Like, yeah, you left. And then as soon as he says that, he slits her throat. So she's dead.
Yeah, before that happens, though, we were talking about this and they're so muddy. Like, they're so fucking muddy, and we don't see that much mud. And I was just, like, thinking of all... And then I just started listing all of the ANTM photo shoots where they involve mud. And I was like, they look as muddy as these models that were made to look specifically muddy. Like, it's crazy. They're covered in this, like, white mud.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it doesn't even look like mud. It's, like, why? I was like, is this some kind of weird honey thing that he's doing? I don't fucking know. He's got some weird abilities, it seems.
Yeah, but Chris runs. And then we just get a notice that Pooh will return.
Yeah. Yeah, he just runs away. The car explodes, too, by the way.
Oh, like, yeah.
It was kind of cool. But, yeah. It just kind of ends abruptly. Like, Christopher gets away. And Pooh's going to be back.
Yep. Yeah, you know what? I really like this movie, and I'm going to keep it at a 7.5. I think it's a lot more fun than people gave it credit for.
I agree. I think it's way better than people said. Like, I think that is kind of helping us too, because it got hyped up as this terrible movie by so many people that I went into this with such low expectations that I walked away like, that was actually pretty good, like pretty okay.
I had fun with it in a way I like wasn't expecting. I was gonna be like, oh man, we're just gonna have fun roasting this movie, and then that's not what ended up happening.
But I'm happy though. I'm keeping mine 6.5.
Okay.
I'm happy that I liked it. I'm happy that we both liked it, because like, I don't know, like I feel like it also needs some love. I feel like we need to show some love to some of this stuff too.
It's fun to like things.
Yeah, I'd rather like things than hate things. It's more fun to like things.
What would you change about it to give it a higher score?
Well, I just feel like I would have like more interesting things happen in the middle there. Like, they show up there, and then like Pooh starts to... It all happens so fast. Like, he gets there, and then they all kind of like split up and then go to their place. And like, it just felt like a sequence of events that happened, and it didn't really feel like things were like strung together with any thought.
Okay.
It just kind of felt like things just happened. It would just be kind of nice to have like a little bit of like plot to go with this. I don't know. Like, I don't need like a heavy plot, but it just
some plot.
Yeah, I mean, the movie was the friends go to the cabin because she suffered a traumatic experience, and who happens to be there, and he like killed them, and like nothing ever gets like.
Yeah, it might have been nice to see like maybe her have like a couple of moments of like what is happening, maybe be a little bit paranoid, draw in that storyline of her like trying to deal with that trauma while like this thing is actually happening, which is fucked up from like a, you know, just a person standpoint, like, oh God, let this woman have some peace. But also from like a storyline, it's interesting because we know that she's experienced this and she has every right to be paranoid. And also as an audience, we know that she has every right to be paranoid.
Yeah.
Like, but it would have been interesting to see her go through that and see her friends like navigate that without being like insensitive to what she's just gone through. And then it slowly dawn on everybody what's happening.
It's weird because like, I agree with that, but like on paper, this movie plays out exactly how I would like for a lot of movies to play out. Like, I don't need a lot of plot to, you know, go through a movie. And this movie doesn't really offer a lot, but, like, I just feel like there's something missing. I don't really know if I'm able to put my finger on it exactly, but I feel like there's, like, something from it to make it truly great.
Okay.
I just can't. I'm sorry. I can't articulate it. So, yeah. That's my change. Figure out what I'm trying to think. Whoever you are, let's make it the next one.
Okay. So Talia was on the couch and she was mostly calm. But then during the pool scene, she started playing with her rabbit. She got really into it. She's afraid of water. Not a fan. That scene really got her nervous. She's got also all of her stuffed friends. They are very important to her. She doesn't like to leave them behind. In fact, one time we went to the lake and we told her she couldn't bring her stuffed caterpillar. So she swallowed a piece of its antenna and spit it up when we got on the houseboat. Yeah, I
forgot about
that. So yeah, she will not be like Christopher Robin. She will not leave them behind. And in fact, she kind of sides with Pooh and Piglet in this. And I think Talia, for that reason, gives it a 10 out of 10.
Wow. She did feel this one. She was feeling herself big time during this movie. So yeah. I 100% agree with that.
Yeah.
And Zoe was on board.
Yeah.
I recall her watching the whole thing.
She started off being in the kitchen because it was close to food time. But once she got fed, she was she hung out on Lawrence Gordon's shark bed the rest of the movie. So.
Okay. Who did you relate to?
I don't know. I guess Tina, because I also frequently get lost even when my GPS is telling me to go a certain way. I'm like, I don't know that I believe that.
That's pretty good. Shit. I'm gonna go with Maria, because sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and feel like I'm being watched.
You usually are.
But Talia. Yeah.
Talia, do you need to go out at 2 a.m.?
No, it's usually Zoe. She's up in my face like, hey, I'm watching you. She's like seriously in my face making eye contact with my closed eyes, just like watching me.
Okay.
All right. So there is a sequel. It's already released. Yep. So
a lot of people say it's better than the first one, so I'm very excited to see it based off of that.
I am too. But let's talk about what we would want from a dream sequel. We know nothing about this sequel, so
I want some of the other friends. I want Kanga or Rabbit. God, Rabbit was already kind of like a grumpy little fuck. Yeah. Like, I would love to see a killer Rabbit, you know?
I feel like Rabbit would be like the Art the Clown of them all, that like go sadistic with their deaths. Like, we saw Pooh and Piglet, and they were already pretty fucked up and gnarly with what they do. Like, I feel like Rabbit can really, really do some damage.
And I want to see, like, little Joey, or not Joey, Roo. He was a Joey.
Yeah.
I want to see him grown up
Tigger.
The way Piglet did.
I want to see Tigger. I want to see how they handle Tigger bouncing on his tail.
Oh, my God.
How are you going to incorporate that in a live-action movie?
Oh, my God.
He's got to, like, have some kind of, like, kill, like a pogo kill. Like, he, like, jumps on their head with his tail. Crushes it.
See, but what you got to remember is that the wonderful thing about Tigger's is that Tigger's a wonderful thing.
He is a wonderful thing. Yeah. That's very true. But what about plot wise? Like, what do we want? Like, okay, so like Christopher, like, is he trying to come back with the cops? Like, look, I understand. Like,
oh yeah, I know kind that of like a Hills Have Eyes 2 thing.
Yeah, like he's like, look, you guys have had all these reportings of like mutilated pig bear man people out there. I don't fucking know, but like, I'm a survivor. Clearly, I'm fucked up. This is like Eeyore hair that whipped me here. Don't ask me who that is. yeah, like he like brings like a crew back there to like try and help them take out Pooh and Piglet. But Piglet and Pooh bring reinforcements of their own with the rest of the crew there.
I would love to see Tigger like come into the forest and somebody be like, tigers don't live around here. We're in East Sussex.
Yeah, that is true. Like kangaroos too.
You know what else I think would be fun is in a really, really fucked up way. So they get caught and they're taken to a zoo.
Oh.
Because they like animals, right? Maybe they radicalize the other animals in the zoo and they all plan an attack on humans.
I would like to see something like that. I would like to see them in a zoo. That would be interesting. Like, yeah. What the fuck do you like do with them?
Because that also, like, they're being fed, which was like a whole thing for them, but they're also being like watched daily by humans, and that's got to be irritating.
I just have in my head pictured, like, if we're doing more horror homages in that one, like, you see Pooh, but he is like Hannibal Lecter and he's got the face mask on. Or he's like got his own tattoo, but now he's talking. He's like, ah, Christopher. That'd be nice. I can see it. Yeah. Okay. I like both approaches. Maybe you can have both of them happen in one movie. Like they swoop in there, get him, and actually take him to the zoo. Ah, okay. We got it. We got our
sequel.
There
we go.
All right.
I wonder what the real sequel's like. Don't tell us if you've seen it, because we're going to watch it.
Yeah, we got to watch it. No spoilers. Yeah, it's in theaters. We need to watch it soon. Okay.
All right.
All right. So, we already got our tagline. Bitch better have my honey. All right, so now it's time for interview, Jesse.
Okay, so I knew that we were generally positive about this. Yeah. And I know that there are a lot of people that generally aren't. And I wanted to find something that wasn't just like, oh, why would they do this to Pooh? So I found somebody that had some actual criticisms. 2 out of 10. Does not utilize its premise. I fully expected Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey to have indistinguishable disposable characters, kills that are gross and mean-spirited, a bone-thin plot, inane dialogue, and acting that is mediocre at best. I was right about the film having all of those things, and I didn't mind these things. They're par for the course in the slasher genre, yeah. And I embrace the self-aware trashiness of it all. What I was not prepared for was just how boring this movie is, and it's because it does not even attempt to make use of its characters that should make for a slam dunk of a hilariously enjoyable concept. Christopher Robin and his college friends should have been the focal characters, but Christopher Robin is barely in this movie, and instead we get a group of vapid girls who have no relation to Christopher. They get killed off instead, and there is no reason to care because they're completely detached from the connection between Pooh and Christopher at the beginning of the film. It would have been so easy for them to capitalize on a concept that could be found only in Winnie the Pooh. The animals kill Christopher's family and friends as revenge for him abandoning them. But the plot we got could be interchanged with literally any other plot in the slasher genre, as it's just a bunch of randos getting killed. What also doesn't help is this disaster is the awful editing. Almost every shot lasts longer than it should, and it makes each scene feel agonizingly long.
Oh my god, I agree with everything that person said. I think that's the thing that's missing. I think I wanted it to be Christopher as the main focus, because it would have that ongoing like thing between them there. I feel like it would have like the motivation, the heart. Like, because you can, like, he clearly loved them.
This movie could have been a sequel, honestly. Like, we get Christopher Robin for the first one, and then this one where we've got a group of people out in the woods. That we've already established Pooh hates people. Like, you know what I mean? So I think that could have been a decent enough change. But yeah, I do agree. Like, Christopher Robin, every time he showed up on screen, I forgot that he had been in this movie. You know? Like, by the time we would see him again, I'd be like, oh. Like, especially at the end when he hits
That's why I said when you remember, because like
I
completely forgot that he was here. Like, yeah, he becomes like an afterthought in this movie that he should be like a protagonist in.
Yeah,
it is kind of strange. I agree with like the bad acting and editing, and I mean, but I like that because like to me that stuff did kind of fit in with the genre and type of movie that this was, you know, like it just kind of fit for me. Like it felt at home with horror. But yeah, no, I really, that makes me really wish that that's what we got now.
Okay.
All right.
We have you listener reviews.
We do.
Okay, cool. I'm happy we've got some.
Yeah. Alrighty. So I'm gonna start off with our one word one on Instagram. It's Apotheosis Productions. They say garbage. Garbage.
Okay. Why is it garbage? I fully respect that that's your opinion, but I would like to know why you think that.
I'm curious to know, too. Like, I know a lot of people think that it's really stupid, but I wanted to know, like, is it because that they're using the premise of Winnie the Pooh and trying to make a horror movie, or did you just not think that it would have been a good horror movie despite the killer, like, if it would have been anybody else?
Is it the acting? Is it the editing? Is it the effects? Like, yeah. What is it that you dislike?
Cube Saves says, not fun. Seems to have kicked off a series of public domain trash coming down the line.
I'm here for some public domain trash.
I'm here for it,
I'm
too.
Public domain trash. It's fine.
I hope that they don't half-ass it. I love the idea that they have a cinematic universe that is clearly making fun of the Marvel Cinematic Universe with how it is, because I think that that's hilarious. I just hope that they really, really put effort into this thing and not just think like, ha, we did it because it was funny. Like, no, like, I, like, take this opportunity and like, you have like the chance to make something good with it.
Yeah.
Like, prove the people wrong. Like, it could be trash, but it could also be great. It could be so many things. Over on Twitter, Jake Richardson says, a good time for sure. Better Intoxicated for sure. The sequel is much better. All right, cool. I'm excited to see the sequel.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing from everybody, is that the sequel is better.
This does seem like a good, like, have some friends over by yourself, like, drink or two, and just kind of, like, sit back and have a good time with it. I feel like that'd be like a good fun movie to watch like that. Final review, Ward Zombie. The idea was great. The acting was bad. Some of the actions in the movie were terrible. I really wanted this to be good, but it was just so bad. It felt like watching a sci-fi movie on the big screen and not in a fun way. I get that. That's actually, like, I can totally see this being a sci-fi movie.
Absolutely. I got the biggest grin on my face with that, though, because I fucking love a sci-fi movie.
I understand where they're coming from, though. Like, for a long time, sci-fi movies were just kind of, like, not good. I feel like we're now in an era where sci-fi movies are actually becoming pretty decent. But I feel like this was better than something that I would see on the Sci-Fi Channel. Like, I liked it. But no, I totally see it being, like, pretty comparable to that.
Definitely.
maybe check out the sequel, because it's sounding like it's pretty good. So if you like the premise, at least, you know, the sequel might actually work. We'll report on that once we actually see it, which will probably be sometime soon,
hopefully.
Yeah. All right, that's it for our reviews.
Okay.
All right, so we don't fully have the schedule made out yet.
I would think that the next movie will be Predator, right?
Are we doing... Okay, we can do my pick next. So yeah, next movie that is coming
up. Get
to
the chopper!
Dylan, we're going to be talking about Predator. Yes, it is a horror movie. There is... Whenever I ever have questions about whether or not I want to cover a movie like this on a podcast, I like to go online and see how other people feel about it. And from my experience, Predator has been unanimously decided as a horror movie. And after watching it for the first time last year, I can tell you it's a slasher. It's a fucking action movie slasher. And I'm really excited to talk about it.
It is so much fun. And I really am a sucker for Arnie, too. So
he's good in it. Yeah. He's really good. I like the whole cast and crew of people there.
Yeah. It's like, we watched it, and the whole time we're like, oh, that's where that's from. That's where that's from. Yeah. Like, I can't believe it took us this long to watch this movie, but I'm so happy that we have, and I'm very excited to talk about it.
Yeah. Chad, actually... goes out to you, Chad and Mandy, for giving us a copy of that, because Chad is really, really big on that movie. And I remember he was like, you've not seen this before? And like,
yeah,
he's like, here, take this.
Yeah, it was pretty serious business.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm not going to read where it's available to watch because we're recording this on March 30th. And by the time this is out, it'll be a new month. Streaming services will likely have switched over their different rights to which movies. So just be sure that you check our social media for where we post, like, where to watch if you're a U.S. listener.
Yeah, that'll be on Saturday, most likely.
Yeah, we usually that gets post uploaded. Them on Saturdays. Yeah. So, all right. And speaking of our social media, you can find us on Instagram and Threads at Least Favorite Scary Movie Podcast, on Twitter and Blueski at Least Fave Pod. You can find us on our website, which is leastfavoritescarymovie.com, or you can email us at leastfavoritescarymovie@gmail.com.
We would also like to give a shout out to our patrons out there. We have Joe
Freakatron,
as is his name, Amber, Michael, Word Zombie, and Tyler. We like to thank you guys very, very much. You guys keep the lights on, and as lights, we mean our website.
Yeah.
You can you already did the social media.
Yeah.
So
if you want to support us in non-monetary ways, you can rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast because it tells the algorithms that we're awesome and recommends us to other people. Also, we like reading our reviews and seeing that you guys like us.
Yeah, it really does help. It helps us with our algorithm and like all that stuff, but it also helps us feel good about ourselves and you guys because it's fun seeing that stuff. So, yeah, we just want to thank you guys for being here. If you haven't yet, share your thoughts of Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. If you liked it, if you're team Winnie the Pooh, let us know. If you're anti Winnie the Pooh, let us know. If you've seen the sequel, let us know. But don't spoil it because we haven't watched it yet.
Spoil it. Don't spoil it or we'll pour acid blood honey on you.
Yes, and sick the bees on you. All right. So that's it for this time.
All right. Until next time.
Bye.
Bye.
That's my thought.
Oh, okay.